You are listening to Real World News.
Rodan Apple interviewed with Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland campaigner Julian Kerve about Apple's nomination to the Pinocchio Awards. The Sustainable Development Pinocchio Awards are organized every year by Friends of the Earth France in partnership with People Solidaire, Action Aid France and CRID. At its website states, the awards aim at denouncing some companies on the social and environmental impacts of their activities in complete contradiction with the Sustainable Development Council that they claim to respect. One of this year's nominees is electronics company Apple for its environmental impacts as a result of tin mining on the island of Bangka, Indonesia. Companies like Samsung, Philips, Nokia, Sony, BlackBerry, Motorola and LG have all recognized their responsibility and have committed to finding solutions to better control their supply chains, but Apple continues to refuse to say whether the tin in its iPhones comes from Bangka Island. Friends of the Earth claims that almost half of the global supply of tin is used in the electronics industry for soldering, with 30% of the tin produced in the world coming from Indonesia. Tin mining on Bangka Island is responsible for the destruction of 65% of the island's forests and for the loss of more than 70% of its coral reefs, as well as the deaths of 60 mine workers in 2012. To know more about Apple's nomination, the impacts of tin mining in the island of Bangka, and the impacts of consumption of electronics on the environment, Real World Radio interviewed Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland campaigner Julian Kerve.
So Apple were chosen for the Pinocchio Award that Friends of France runs, because the Pinocchio Award, I mean, you'll have to, you know, talk to them or look at the website for that to get a better definition of what it is. But basically, it is an award that they give to companies that are dishonest in any way, or that they, you know, aren't being good companies, shall we say, to put it sort of simply. And the Friends of France decided to nominate Apple as one of the companies that it included in that award. And I think people then vote on it. Because Friends of the Earth, England, Wales, Northern Ireland, and in the Netherlands, Milieu Defensie, and while he in Indonesia have been leading a campaign, which other Friends of the Earth groups have been a part of as well, asking the world's biggest smartphone makers to admit publicly whether they are using tin from the destructively mined tin from Indonesia, from the mines on Bangka Island and around. And Apple was the only one out of the best known smartphone brands that refused to make a public statement about that. So Samsung admitted it fairly early on after 20,000 odd people emailed them, I think 15,000. They'd also emailed Apple. And then another 10,000 odd emails went on to Apple, and then they must have received more than 25,000 emails in the end, as well as other pressure and conversations with us. Meanwhile, we then wrote to all the other of the top 10 2012 smartphone selling companies. So that includes the likes of Nokia and Sony Ericsson and Motorola and BlackBerry. And we asked them the same question. Do you use tin from the mines on Bangka and surrounding islands where there is horrendous human cost as well as environmental cost? And if you do, will you commit to, whether or not you do, will you commit to an industry process to address those problems? And all of the best known companies agreed that they looked through their supply chain. They had a few weeks and they looked through their supply chain and they all came back to say either that they do or that it's very likely that they do use the tin from there in their electronics. And that meant that only Apple and then some of the lesser known brands, which were Huawei and ZTE, which no Western consumers likely to have heard of. I think they mainly are what's called a white label brand. So they make phones for other people. And then HTC, which used to be quite big in the West, but is rapidly shrinking market share. So only Apple and those much smaller companies, lesser known companies, have refused to make a public statement. So that's why Five France have decided to nominate Apple, because they are being uniquely cowardly compared to the other brands in refusing to be honest with their customers about where the contents of some of their products come from and what the costs, the social and environmental costs of those contents are.
What have the other companies done in response to this, you know, their environmental impact in Banka? What did they say they would do? Did they commit to anything?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I don't know how much you know about the situation in Banka, but it's very, very complex. So you have you have big corporate miners. PTT Mar is the part nationally owned massive mining company, which owns its concession, the rights it has to mine, cover actually most of the island of Banka. And so it's huge. But you also have a lot of artisanal miners, so, you know, small-scale miners, unofficial miners, semi-legal miners. And then you have some independent miners that also operate in a sort of a grey area legally. And then there is the other governance issues around corruption and around just being able to reach people, educate people, that sort of thing. And so it's very poorly regulated. And what that means is it's difficult for a particular company to make any rapid change. But they can all exert an influence if they come together and say as a body that we do not want to be buying tin that involves people dying and injuring themselves in mining it, and that destroys coral reef and forests and damages farmland, etc. as well. So they have got together in a group, an industry group, and actually, to their credit, Apple were the leaders in setting up this group. Our problem with them, and hence the Pinocchio Award, is just that they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't make a public statement. They wouldn't publicly admit to having the tin. But have set up this industry group with their other partners, which is exploring what might be possible to do to improve the situation and what their roles might be. Now, part of the problem with that group is that it is fairly secretive, and the companies, they commissioned some very good research. We've been on that group, obviously, because our campaign kicked it off. They commissioned some research, and the research has corroborated what we said about the situation there. It has validated what we said. It's true, what we've said, in much more detail. And now that group is looking at ways in which those companies can try and influence the situation there. But at the end of the day, those companies might still decide, we don't want to do this, or it's too difficult for us, or whatever else. You know, we funded a study, that's enough, and now we'll walk away and we'll leave it just to the government of Indonesia. And that's why we have been placing most of our focus actually on this transparency principle, which is that you have to admit where your materials in your products come from, because that way, to cite the cliche, you know, light is the best disinfectant. So where you shine a light onto these sorts of problems in your supply chain, then that makes it more likely that the problems will be addressed, because it's in your interest as a company to avoid them. Customers won't want to be buying products that are associated there. Also, governments will feel much more pressure. But also, everybody knows and they understand the situation much better, which means that obviously that's a step towards doing something about it. Yeah, so that's why for us actually the most important thing to do is actually to be open and clear about where stuff comes from, and that's why Apple get the Pinocchio Award, because they're refusing to publicly admit that or the nomination for it. And just linked to that, the other thing therefore that we are pushing for with this is legislation, at European legislation that will require companies to be much more open about the impacts of their operations and their suppliers' operations, whether or not actually those impacts affect the company's profits. The situation on Banka won't affect Apple's profits. No matter how many people die there, it's unlikely to affect Apple's profits. But our view is it shouldn't. You know, reporting, that sort of transparency, shouldn't just be about what affects the company's profits. It should be about what affects the community and the environment as well, as a result of, you know, the company's operations. And these big companies are creating a large demand for tin, and so that is partly what's driving these things, the events there.
Exactly. So from what you're saying, I understand this is part of a bigger campaign. Today we're talking about the Pinocchio Awards, which they are going to be awarded on the 19th of November. But, you know, you were talking about a bigger campaign regarding Apple and other companies in terms of accountability and their negative environmental impact. You're working together with Friends of the Earth Europe, or is there a campaign as well that Uni is involved in?
Yes, well, it's both of those things. So Uni is running a campaign called Make It Better, and that's what this that's what the story, the banker situation, also illustrates. The campaign is to help the people and the environment of Indonesia and banker in particular, but it's also to address the bigger picture problems that mean that situations like banker, but situations in other mines for the electronics industry and other industries all the way around the world, but also other sectors like plantations for paper and pulp, for cotton and that sort of thing, biofuels, you know, serious nasty things are happening in all of those places as well. And so that's why we're also looking for the bigger picture, so that part of the solution, it's not a panacea, it won't solve it entirely on its own, which is transparency. So yes, that's what the Make It Better campaign is also pushing for. Friends of the Earth Europe is also working on that, so the Make It Better work of Friends of the Earth, or so Uni is probably one of the major pushes in the Faux Europe campaign on the transparency law. But other Faux groups are also involved in varying ways. So as I said, Milieu Defensie Netherlands are involved in that. I'm not sure which other ones are involved really actively, but they'll all be doing little bits like sending letters to ministers and MEPs and things like that. So it is a pan-European campaign.
Sorry, but apart from this lobbying work, is there a raising awareness campaign as well?
Yes. Well, there have been in different ways. And so the Reduce, R-E-D and then a dash and a capital U-S-E, I think, which I think is an attempt to sort of merge reduce resource use, I think. That project was a pan-European project, so lots of Faux groups were involved in it. It was led by Global 2000, Friends of the Earth Austria, and that was very much an awareness-raising project, which looked at the impacts of consumption of several sectors in particular. So they looked at cotton, and they looked at lithium and aluminium, I think. But they also really promoted the Make It Better campaign and the smartphones, because it was very much a similar sort of theme for them, which was aimed largely at a youth audience, I think. And again, it's just making it clear that our products, that stuff comes from somewhere, and where it comes from, it has an impact. It has an impact on people and on the environment. So they also pushed it. But there's an overlap with other Faux groups as well, and this is why Friends of the Earth in France have been interested in this, because they've been working particularly on product durability, on against obsolescence, and particularly planned obsolescence. So you make your product designed so either it'll break quite soon, or psychological obsolescence, so that even though it works fine, you know, the person who's bought it will feel after just a year or two that actually it's not as good as the new ones. I have to get the new ones because maybe the software doesn't work so well, or maybe it feels less good, you know, whatever. So Faux France have been doing a lot of work on that. Now, obviously, and they have been focused on Apple for that as well. And I'm sure you can appreciate that the two things are quite connected. The fact that their business model is based around updating their products very rapidly, and yet the product, it can't be upgraded itself. It's very difficult to repair these products, particularly things like iPads. And so people have to buy a whole new one, and if it breaks, they throw it away and have to buy a whole new one. They can't upgrade it and keep the same thing. What that means, of course, is that they are creating much more of a demand for new raw materials. In other words, they are creating more of a drive behind things like the banker situation. Do you see what I mean? So that's the big link, really, between Faux France's focus on obsolescence and intentional designed obsolescence, as part of a fast turnover business model, and our focus on the transparency of actually where stuff comes from.
Yeah, there's also the problem of waste.
Yeah, quite right. It is a problem of waste as well. And the reason it's a problem of waste rather than, a resource is because that electronic material, those gadgets, they're not designed to be reused. So recycling should be the worst option. Because when you recycle iPhones and things like that, the way they do it is they just smash them up, they crush them up, and then they try and get the materials, the basic raw materials back out of that. And the recovery rate for even the best recycling facilities for this sort of thing, I don't know the figures, but it's not that good. Like, you are still going to lose a lot of the tin, the original tin that went in there, a lot of the gold, a lot of the rare earth minerals and that sort of thing. Whereas if you had designed your product so that it could be taken apart easily, then you don't smash up the camera. You take the camera out and you can use it again. Or the capacitors and the cathodes, you can take those things out and use them again. And that would save money, and it would certainly save resources. But the product has to be designed that way in the first place. So there is a company responsibility to do that, to reduce waste. Now, a company like Apple will claim that it has a high recycling rate and that it takes back, it offers all sorts of schemes to take back its phones and so on. But actually the amount of electronic material that they put on the market is much, much, much more than what actually they end up recycling. And as I said, even where it is recycled, that's the worst option. They should be designing these things so that they last and so that they're repairable, upgradable, and so on. But we are going to be releasing a report, hopefully before the end of next week, which is a more of an overview of the consumer electronic supply chain. So it looks at 9 minerals and it looks at packaging, just as examples of generically, at a sort of general level, what the impacts are, but also looking at some of the sites of production for these things, extraction for these things. And then ties that back to Apple as well, just as an example of sort of a figurehead company to say, right, here's an example of a company and these are its footprints. And we calculated the land and water footprints for these companies as well.
You are listening to Real World News.